Amen. Hey, welcome again. Thank you so much for being here to hang out with us today. Again, my name's Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to just have a house full today. Thank you for coming, and maybe you're here to support those being baptized today. So thank you for being here, and we want you to feel at home. So thank you for coming. Today we're going to be a little different. We've been in a series we just finished up called Famous Last Words, and we looked at the words of Jesus on the cross. And the cool part about it is that those, even though we said those were his last words, well, they kind of were, but they weren't, because he wasn't done yet. All right, when they hung him on the cross and he died and he gave up his spirit there, that was a finish for his earthly body, but he wasn't done. And so the cool part is he was put into a tomb on the last, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and there he is today, sitting at the right hand of God for us. And so, it's interceding for us, sitting there, just having our best interests at heart. And so that's who God is, that's who Jesus is, that's what he did for us. And so today, as we focus in on Easter, we focus on that third day. We focus on the fact that Jesus gave his life on a cross, paid a cruel, brutal death to pay the price for our sins. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin, which we all have and all do, I mean, it's all, right? It's all, right? No exceptions. We all have it. And so because we couldn't pay the price, Jesus came and he did that for us. And he did it on a cross, after being brutally beaten into a place where he was almost unrecognizable as a human. All right, so he did all of that. That's kind of a harsh way to start a message, you know, but it's the reality of where we sit today, that's what he was willing to endure for us. But here's the cool part. He was taken off of that cross, dead as could be, put into a tomb, and on the third day, though, the stone was rolled away, and he wasn't there no more because he was risen. God had taken, by all his power and love, had raised him from the dead and allowed him to be resurrected so that you and I could know that there was something more than just death. And today we're going to focus in on that fact. Now, today we've got we've got all these political campaigns going on, and I'm not getting into the politics of everything, but listen, people have been given all kinds of speeches and showing up trying to get us to vote for them, right? I mean, almost to the point where it's almost nauseating and we're all probably sick of it by now. But the fact is they're working hard and they're doing everything they can to motivate us to vote for them. And they're trying to give all kinds of speeches. They're trying to give us all kinds of words to just gain our votes. If you think back through history, there have been all kinds of speeches and all kinds of words spoken trying to motivate us, to comfort us, to spur us on to something new, to unite us together. Think about some of the speeches that we know. There's Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. We all knew 47 years ago, and that's kind of all I know, but I know the gist of it, right? He was motivating the people to come together. We know that the preamble of the Declaration of Independence was written to unite us as Americans. I think we've kind of forgotten that's the way we're supposed to be, but the reality is that was to motivate the people of there and to keep us going. Martin Luther ignited the Protestant Reformation with his famous declaration of "Here I stand." If you're not familiar with it, you need to Google it and look it up this afternoon and familiarize yourself with who Martin Luther is and that particular declaration. Jonathan Edwards lit the revival fires of the Great Awakening with his sermon "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." If you've never read it, listen, Christians, if you've never read that message, you should go. You got to look it up. You got to read it. You got to understand it, because it's good stuff, and it's one of those things that motivates us as believers. FDR had that speech talking about the day that would live for infamy. He was uniting the people into World War II and bringing us together. That was a motivating speech. There have been speech after speech after speech. There have been moment after moment after moment where people have tried to bring and unite people. And today I want to tell you that there is no greater words that have been spoken that should unite people than the words that were heard on that Easter morning. Well, let me just read it for you. Luke 24, beginning in verse 1, says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." These are the ladies going to care for Jesus' body. as he was laid in that tomb. And there they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Can you imagine what these guys must have looked like? For the Bible to describe them this way and this glow and the way they were dressed. But it says, and as they, the women, were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Here's those words that as believers in Jesus should motivate us and should bring us together and should just jack the snot out of all of us. All right? I've tried to put it nicely. That's where I landed. He is not here. He is risen. He's not there. He's not in some tomb somewhere. You can't go there and find him. A friend of mine just got back, and he said, you know what? I went and looked. He wasn't there. You know, he's not there. You can go find Buddha's tomb. You can find Confucius' tomb, but you can't find, because they're there, right? You can pull their bones out of there. Jesus isn't there. He's not. He's risen. And Easter is a time where we should focus in on it. But listen, every Sunday should be a day we focus on it. We shouldn't just have to wait a whole year to get around to the fact that Jesus has risen for us and that he paid a price for us. The fact is that we should be excited about it year round. You know, in the early Christian tradition, you know, we've kind of shifted away from it because we've put a heavy emphasis on the cross many times. And the cross is incredibly important. Don't hear me say that it's not. But in the fact that in the early church, they emphasized the resurrection because of its importance. Listen, the cross is important. Jesus died there paying the price for our sins, and it deserves all that we give it. But the fact is that there's more to it than just the cross. There's the resurrection, and it deserves its dues as well. The cross may have been a focal point, but the resurrection stands and it lasts for us to look at. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and 17. He says, and if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. That if Jesus was only killed on the cross, that though the price was paid for our sins, then that would be the end. That's where everything would stop. But because of the resurrection, it goes on. Verse 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith would be futile, and you were still in your sins. Listen, Jesus paid a price on a cross, but not only that, he went to the utmost extreme so that you and I could not just be forgiven of our sins, but so that we could have a restoration of a relationship with him that we are meant to have for all of eternity. That it wasn't just the end for us to be forgiven and then us die and be put in a hole. That's not it. It was for us to be able to experience life eternal with him. Many of the early believers saw themselves as witnesses to the resurrection. They saw themselves there. Peter and John created quite an uproar preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. The Bible says that there was great power in the apostles' testimony of the resurrection. Several years after the crucifixion, Paul preached the good news about Jesus and his resurrection. It was important to understand that the good news of the gospel of Jesus includes a cross and a resurrection. Listen, the cross is what saves us, and that's the price that's paid. Our sins are forgiven. But without the resurrection, then we have no hope of eternity. That's why we need to understand what today is about. That's why we need to celebrate Easter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is such an important chapter because it helps us to understand and give us encouragement towards that. It presents Christ as this mighty warrior who removes the powerful sting of death that we just sang about, that hell no longer has victory, that we can understand that the grave doesn't hold him. It presents this picture of his promises and this progression to not just a savior of sacrifice, but to a resurrected Savior who lives on. And that's exciting for us as believers. But as we look at the resurrection, we need to understand why it's important for us. What does it bring to us? What does it do for us? The first thing that it does is it proclaims Christ's deity. If you have your notes, you may want to write these things down and study them later, but it proclaims Christ's deity. The resurrection allows us to understand who Christ is. The cross and his death there, it accomplished a redemption for us. It accomplished the pain of the price for our sins. But, you know, to just have sacrificed himself and died on a cross and be buried didn't add much to him. It could be misconstrued, it could be left, and it could be questioned. But the fact that that on the third day the tomb was empty because God had raised him from the dead proved that he wasn't just a sacrifice, but he was the Savior. He was God's Son. His deity is held tight in that. We see Jesus here in Romans 1:4. It says that it was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's power in the resurrection. There's power that we need to understand of what it comes from and what it's for. In 1 Corinthians 15, we understand that Christ conquers all the enemies and destroys all dominions. Listen, everything under authority of Christ is under his authority because of the resurrection, because he proved who he was. Lots of people have made claims of deity. We read about it all the time. We know there were many emperors and conquerors that claimed to have a deity about them, but the fact is none of them were raised from the dead. None of them can prove that they were truly the Son of God, that they were God in the flesh. And so we recognize that the resurrection is a valuable piece because it proves he is who he said he was and who he says he is today. The second piece is that it promotes our dignity. When we look at 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in chapter 20 or verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen, in Christ we're made alive. There's life that comes from having a relationship with him. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to him. Listen, the resurrection is important because it illustrates how vital and how important that we are in this relationship with God, that he wants a relationship with us. Listen, he could do it without us, but he chose to do it with us, to give us an opportunity to have that relationship with him. In the scripture, it talks about those who belong to Christ, and we ask the question, who are those? Who does that word those represent? We don't know exactly who it is. We don't know names of people, right? It didn't list out the people, but we do know it's those who began a relationship with Jesus. Those who have proclaimed that he is the Savior, that he is the one who came and paid a price and died on a cross for their sins, that he sacrificed for them. We know that is a piece that we need to understand, that if in Christ we have hope, in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Listen, if we don't have a relationship with Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we're to be pitied. If Jesus isn't who he said he was, if he had just died on the cross, listen, they could have played it off and not have recognized it for what it is. But his resurrection proves that there was more to him than that. That there is more to this life than just here and now. That he gives us the opportunity and the promise of forever, of an eternal hope beyond here today. Verse 32 says, what do I do, or what do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and for tomorrow we die. Listen, that's kind of a mantra of many of our society today. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry, because you know what? We're going to die one day, and when it's done, hey, I'm going to live it up now, because when it's done, it's done. Let me tell you that the reality of that is that you put yourself in a place that that what this world has to offer is the best you'll ever get. That this world is the top of the line. But through a relationship with Jesus, you know what? This is the worst that it gets. That now shifting into that relationship with Him, that you can look at this world as the worst that it gets, because it's only going to get better because of that eternal relationship that you would get to experience through the relationship with Him. Listen, if your hope is just for what you get today and what you get from here and now, you're missing out on the greatest thing of that's ever been done for you. And that was the fact that Jesus came and paid that price for you, was buried and was raised again. So now you can be forgiven of your sins. You can live free of the bondage of all the things that tend to grab us and hold us down. But now you not only get to do it for this life, but you get to do it for all eternity. The resurrection proves that there is more to it than just today. Listen, some of you may know, I've been working some, helping with one of the local funeral homes, and this week was such a really busy week. So a lot of people that came in, unfortunately, had lost their lives. And you know, it's interesting that when you spend time in that setting and you deal with what's left, you know, when we're gone, this thing is just a shell. It's just something that kind of carries us around. But there's so much more to us, and there's so much more that God wants out of what and who we are. He doesn't just want us to have, you know, just this and us just give for what we get for right now. He wants us to understand that there is so much more that He wants out of life for us. For when this shell is emptied of the real me, that there is more that will go on. There is more that I will experience because of that relationship with Him. And listen, I got to be honest that there is a reality that so often we forget, that Jesus loved us enough to give us to give up His life for us. Now, I saw a post earlier this week on Facebook, and it said this. Alistair Begg, I believe, is who it said, and this is an exact quote, but it says this, that think about how atrocious our sin must be. That if God, the creator of the universe, the one who made everything that we see, who created us, had to give His Son in order to pay the price for it. Think about the reality of that. And that's not just for certain people. That's not just for one part of society and not another. That's for all of us. It's whether you got on a suit and tie, or you got on a t-shirt and flip-flops. It's whether you got on socks or you don't. You know, it doesn't matter. It's for all of us. And we need to understand that Jesus came and He paid this price. And so today, on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we don't have to worship the bunny. Who wants to worship a bunny, really? I mean, come on. They're cute and all that, but, you know, they just kind of lay there and they don't do much. But make more rabbits, I guess. But, you know, but who wants to worship an egg? The reality is that we get to worship a risen Savior because He was willing to pay this price for us. It proclaims Christ's deity. The resurrection promotes our dignity, but most importantly, it prepares us for our future. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 declares this. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God, a kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Listen, there's going to come a day, and the Bible says this, that every knee will bow and every mouth will confess Jesus as Lord. Everything's going to come under Him at one time. And maybe that sounds like a fairy tale. Maybe that sounds like some really crazy movie or whatever, but it's the reality of the Word of God that has been given to us to help us understand that for ourselves. And we can deny it, and we can say, oh man, Ron, you know, I appreciate all that. I appreciate you getting up and doing that and sweating really hard to tell me all about it. I appreciate that, but you know, I just don't believe it. Well, I appreciate that. But whether we believe the truth or not, doesn't change the truth. we still have a responsibility to understand it. It's been given to us. Too much of it has been proven to be authentic for us not to, to now stop and say, you know what? I just can't get that part. The reality is that there will come a time where all authority, everything will come underneath of him. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees some promises for us for the future. Listen to John 14, beginning in verse 1. We know this scripture, probably you've heard it many times, but listen to the words of it. Jesus says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled." If the creator of the universe says, listen, don't let your heart be troubled, you can understand it. I think we can let not our heart be troubled, right? Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There is a promise. He will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, today people are trying to find the way to all kinds of stuff. They've dug into all kinds of things. There are addictions that are just sometimes just kind of blow our minds of where people find themselves. But listen, they're no different than the ones we already know about. They're no different than the basic ones. They're all a means of trying to find something that is right here in front of us. I have tried to fill my life with all kinds of stuff. I have tried to fill it with people and things and stuff and money, and I've tried to do all of those things, but nothing could ever get me to the place that my relationship with Christ has brought me. Listen, I'm not just telling you that because it worked for me. I'm telling you because God says that it works for all of us. That when we begin to realize that he is who he said he is and he's done what he said he did, and we understand all of that, then there becomes a place where we can begin to put our hope and trust in him. He is the way. But because of that, because we have the opportunity to know the way, and because so many of us try to find it somewhere else, there is a reality that we have to come to. Remember in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians 22, it said, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The reality is that we have an opportunity to be made alive. That through Christ, we get to experience life like we've never experienced it before. I was sharing with someone this morning, listen, that doesn't mean that things are perfect. Doesn't mean that the bank account fills up. It doesn't mean that people won't like you, you know, won't get mad at you. It doesn't mean that things won't go your way. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect for you. It does mean, though, that there is somebody perfect who will go with you all the way through those things. And we have a promise of that, that there is life to be found in Jesus. Some of us are looking for it every other place, but the reality is it's right there. And he's right here. And so we know that there is a reality of life in Christ. But there's also a life and a reality of life without him. Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Listen, without Jesus, we're promised not just one death, but two. We not only die physically, but we die spiritually, forever separated from the one who loves us enough to give everything he had to pay the price for us. And listen, we can all go through that list. There's a bunch on that list that I know that I fall under the category of sometimes. Not always on purpose, just that we all. You know, we talked about it the other week. You know, we've all lied, we've all stole, we've all cheated. We've all kind of done those things in one way or another. But the reality is that the saving grace of Jesus in our lives allows us to be forgiven and set free from those things. So the resurrection is an invitation for us to receive what Christ has prepared for us. Not just forgiveness of our sins that he paid the price for, but also eternal restoration of a relationship that we were meant to have all along. That's for us. That's what we should celebrate. That's what Easter should jack us up about. It's why we should be pumped year-round, not just on one Sunday out of the year. It's an invitation. We've all been invited to something at one point or another, right? We've all been invited. And some things we've been invited to, we've gone to. Some things we've been invited to, we hadn't gone to. But this is an invitation that we need to make a choice on. And here's the thing. You either accept this invitation or you don't. How do you not accept it? Well, you just never make a decision. By choosing not to accept it, you're choosing to reject it. Here's what the Bible tells us. If we accept it. Listen to this. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It's the scripture that our kids are learning all month long back there in You Are a Kids. They've been focused on it, and we as adults need to understand this. You should hear the kids quote it back there. It's awesome. Here's what it says. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be, not you could be, but you will be. What a promise he's made to us that if we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and that we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection, that we'll be saved. For the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Listen, you got to understand that you got to believe it in your heart. Too often we give lip service to salvation, and we do it for emotional reasons. We do it because we're scared that we're going to hell. We do it for lots of different reasons. The reality is we need to do it because we know that it's for us. We know Jesus did that for us, that it's for me. I know that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, on a cross, hung there paying the price for Ron Laughlin to have an opportunity to be forgiven of his sins. I could put your name in there, everybody in this room. He did that so that you and I could experience. So here's the question of the day. Here's the question. Here's what it all comes down to. Do you believe? And have you confessed? Do you believe? And have you confessed? What have you done with the invitation that we've all been given? Listen, I can tell you today, it kind of sounds like I've been kind of harsh on you, doesn't it? I even had a harsh voice today. Because I want you to understand that today is an opportunity you have not to walk out of here completely different. To not be held down by the weight of your sins any longer. To not be held down by the mistakes that you've made. To not be held down by the things that have beaten you up all your life. But today to be set free by the thing that Jesus has done for every single one of us. Today, you can experience freedom. You can experience what the folks in just a moment are going to demonstrate to you that they experienced. So you have a choice. So here's the question. Do you believe and have you confessed? Let's pray. God, today we thank you for your son Jesus who came and paid an incredible price for us on a cross. God, we thank you today that he was willing to pay that price. But God, we know that you didn't stop at the cross. That the cross is enough to forgive our sin and pay the price for it, God. You didn't stop there. But you let him be laid in a tomb and you raised him from the dead on the third day. Because God, you wanted more than just us to be forgiven. You wanted an eternal relationship with us. And so God, today I pray that as each of us sit here in this room, some of us maybe have made the decision to accept that long ago, but we've begun to live like we haven't. Some of us have never made that decision before, and today we know it's time to do it. So God, in this moment, as the band plays, I pray that you would break hearts free. That God, people would come and they would acknowledge that to you. To acknowledge that they've never allowed your son to be Lord of their life, to be their Savior. And today's the day. And for those that have made it before, to know that they just haven't been living and letting him be who he's supposed to be in their life. So God, today I pray that you'd move in a great way. That you would free the captive today. Free that person that's held by whatever it is that's in their life, whether it's an addiction, whether it's just a relationship or whatever it may be, God, that just needs to be free and to be fully given to you. God, move in this place today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.